Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28. Kapila's instructions on the execution of devotional service. Text 44. Tasmad imam svam prakritim daivim sad asad atmakam durvibhavya parabhavya swarupena vatishtate tasmadimam swam prakritim daivam sad asad atmakam Durvibhavyam parabhavya swarupena vatishtate tasmadimam swam prakritim daivam sad asad atmakam Durvibhavyam parabhavya swarupena vatishtate tasmadimam swam prakritim daivam sad asad atmakam Durvibhavyam parabhavya swarupena vatishtate
tasmadimam swam prakritim
tasmadimam swam prakritim
devim sadasatmakam
devim sadasatmakam
durvibhavyam parabhavya
durvibhavyam parabhavya
swarupena vatishtate
swarupena vatishtate
tasmadimam swam prakritim
tasmadimam swam prakritim
Devam
Sadatmakam
Durvibhavyam Parabhavya
Durvibhavyam Parabhavya
Swarupena Vatishtate
Swarupena Vatishtate Asmat Mam Smam Prakritim
Asmat Mam Prakritim
Devam Sadasatmakam
Devam Sadasatmakam
Durvibhavyam Parabhavya
Durvibhavyam Parabhavya
Swarupena Vatishtate
Swarupena Vatishtate Smarimam Swam Prakritim
Smarimam Swam Prakritim
Daivam
Sada Satmikam
Durvibhavyam parabhavya
swarupena
vatishtate
tasmat
thus
imam this swam own prakritim material energy divim divine sat asat atmakam consisting of cause and effect. Dovi Bhavyam, difficult to understand. Parabhavya, after conquering. Swarupena, in the self-realized position. Avatishtate, he remains. Translation. Thus, the yogi can be in the self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation, and is therefore very difficult to understand. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the spell of Maya, which covers the knowledge of the living entity, is insurmountable. However, one who surrenders unto Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can conquer the seemingly insurmountable spell of Maya. Here also it is stated that the Daivi Prakriti, or the external energy of the Supreme Lord, is Durvi Bhavya, very difficult to understand and very difficult to conquer. One must, however, conquer this insurmountable spell of Maya. And this is possible by the grace of the Lord when God reveals himself to the surrendered soul. It is also stated here, Swarupena vatishtate. Swarupa means that one has to know that he is not the Supreme Soul, but rather part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. That is self-realization. To think falsely that one is the Supreme Soul and that one is all-pervading is not swarup. This is not realization of his actual position. The real position is that one is part and parcel. It is recommended here that one remain in that position of actual self-realization. In Bhagavad Gita, this understanding is defined as Brahman realization. After Brahman realization, one can engage in the activities of Brahman. As long as one is not self-realized, he engages in activities based on false identification with the body. When one is situated in his real self, then the activities of Brahman realization begin. The Mayavadi philosophers say that after Brahman realization, all activities stop. But that is not actually so. If the soul is so active in its abnormal condition, existing under the covering of matter, how can one deny its activity when free? An example may be cited here. If a man in a diseased condition is very active, how can one imagine that when he is free from the disease, he will be inactive? Naturally, the conclusion is that when one is free from all disease, his activities are pure. It may be said that the activities of Brahman realization are different from those of conditional life, but that does not stop activity. This is indicated in Bhagavad Gita 18:54. After one realizes oneself to be Brahman, devotional service begins. Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, Bhagavad Gita 18:54. After Brahman realization, one can engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service of the Lord is activity in Brahman realization. For those who engage in devotional service, there is no spell of Maya, and their situation is all perfect. The duty of the living entity as a part and parcel of the whole is to render devotional service to the whole. That is the ultimate perfection of life. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 28th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Kapila's Instructions on the Execution of Devotional Service. Tasmadimam swam prakritim daivim sad asad atmakam Durvi Bhavyam Parabhavya Swarupena Vatishtate. Thus the yogi can be in the self-realized position after conquering the insurmountable spell of Maya, who presents herself as both the cause and effect of this material manifestation, and is therefore very difficult to understand. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadishtarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanichyananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, 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 Hari Hari. Vanchkap Churubhyas Chagripa Sindhu Vyevacha. Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. This is the last verse of this chapter, Lord Kapila's Instructions on the Execution of Devotional Service. And basically the point here in concluding this chapter and bringing the message of it to its, well, to its conclusion, is that if you follow this process which has been described by Lord Kapila, if you follow it very nicely, then you'll find you're in the self-realized position. And you will be completely free of the otherwise insurmountable spell of Maya. Yes. An insurmountable spell, and as Lord Kapila says in the verse, she presents herself, Maya Devi, presents herself as both cause and effect within this material world, and is therefore difficult to understand. Well, that isn't difficult to understand. Both the cause and the effect. Hare Krishna, that's a complex situation, and therefore difficult to understand. And as Srila Prabhupada makes note in the purport, let me just see if I can find it. Anyway, maybe not right now, but well, Prabhupada said difficult to understand and difficult to achieve, basically. One thing is to understand, another thing is to achieve it. That's really, that's really taking things to a different level altogether. So, but yes, if one follows the instructions that Lord Kapila has given in this chapter and executes the process which he has described quite elaborately, then, at least if one was living back at that time in the past, then if one was following those instructions nicely, one would find, I am in the self-realized position right now. and I'm completely free. I have conquered over, which includes being completely free from the illusory nature of this material world. Conquered over it and able to understand it and able to work with it. So, of course, that's what we were just saying in terms of people who are actually people back at that time who were following or who were able to follow such a rigorous discipline. But Srila Prabhupada, we've already mentioned in a few of the classes, from time to time and quite regularly, Srila Prabhupada made the point that, you know, in different ways, that we don't exactly follow the process of Lord Kapila in exactly the same terms, but in effect, we definitely follow the process of Lord Kapila. Of course we do, we must do. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there's certain refinements, you could say, as to how we follow the instructions of Lord Kapila. And we've already mentioned a few times, we can mention again, that Lord Kapila, emphasizes that in order to get control of the mind, so that then you can focus the mind where you want to focus it, rather than having it focus where it wants to focus. And of course, to focus the mind where we want to focus it means to focus it on Krishna. So he propounded the breathing exercises, and we don't exactly do that. What we do is we chant the holy names. And of course, some of you, or however many of you may be aware, that Srila Prabhupada, in describing the process of devotional service, made it very clear, and Shastra says the same thing too, of course, that what was I saying? That's what I was saying.
About what we follow.
Yeah. Anyway, about that in the process of devotional service and the different activities which make up the process of devotional service, that in certain respects we also follow the different disciplines which are there in the different forms of yoga. And in regards to Lord Kapila and this process of Sankhya Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga and or, then the breathing exercise, Srila Prabhupada made the point that when we are chanting the holy names, when we're chanting japa, when we are in kirtan, then we are breathing. There's a lot of breathing involved. And this is our way, the bhakti yoga way, following Lord Chaitanya, to apply the concepts of breathing exercises. And like sitting in class, we sit. You can take an example. We sit in a hatha yoga position. Yes, there you can see there's evidence. And of course we study shastra, we study Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and this is, you could say, our form of jnana yoga, that cultivation of knowledge, and it involves also some sankhya, some analysis to really grasp the concepts which are presented in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and by Srila Prabhupada and like that. And of course we chant Hare Krishna. This is our dhyana yoga. This is our dhyana yoga, our meditation. And of course those who are second initiated, they also do silent meditation, which is again a form, it's a somewhat different form of dhyana yoga. So like this, Srila Prabhupada made the point that in these senses, the way we practice Krishna consciousness, following Lord Chaitanya in Parampara, it includes, in certain ways, many of the practices which are there in the other forms of yoga. You know, may not as rigorously, generally. Yes, sitting in the position for hours and days, even. It's just sitting in meditation for hours and hours and days and years and all like this. But certainly, there are definitely very clearly elements of those practices the way that we are practicing Krishna consciousness following Lord Chaitanya. So like this bhakti yoga, devotional service, as taught by Lord Chaitanya and given to us by Srila Prabhupada, in that sense, it's a very inclusive process, an all-inclusive type of process. Yes. But of course, the way we apply things is different from in these sort of, you might say, classic cases. Because it's Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, it is more difficult. It's more difficult in terms of the environment, the social environment. It's more difficult in terms of our physical natures. And it's more difficult in terms of our internal natures, psychological and like that. It really is. So, yes. But elements are there, and in that sense, the way we practice Krishna consciousness is all-inclusive. I remember once, many years ago, the devotee who designed and then oversaw the construction of this temple we're sitting in, he told us how previously he was a practitioner of Hatha Yoga, like a really serious practitioner. And he would sit in, or be in, different asanas, sometimes for hours. And one time, he decided to go into the classic lotus position. We have here a demonstration of it's like a half lotus. The full lotus is with the feet up on the top surface of the upper parts of the legs. So he sat in that lotus position, and as I recall, he sat there for a couple of days. Yes, not just a couple of hours, but really for a long period of time. And then it was too painful to continue. And so he decided to just unravel himself, but the body was stuck and he couldn't unravel himself. And some other of his associates had to come and very slowly and gently move his feet and his legs and things and get him sort of back to normal. Okay, so yeah, it's Kali Yuga. And it affects us in all these different ways. It's not just socially, psychologically, it's in all types of ways. So anyway, if one does this practice nicely, as Lord Kapila has given and as per Srila Prabhupada's application of it, you could say, then one will conquer over Maya. And Srila Prabhupada, right at the beginning of the purport, makes the point, very important point, that we have to overcome Maya. We cannot just stay under Maya, because there'll be no possibility of being successful in yoga, in Krishna consciousness. Yes. One must, however, conquer this insurmountable spell of Maya. And it's possible by the grace of the Lord, when the Lord reveals himself. Prabhupada here refers to Bhagavad Gita, famous verse, chapter 7, verse 14. Who will tell us 7:14? Bhagavad Gita? No. You know everything, and we know that. 7:14. Yes, this is all verses in Bhagavad Gita are important, but this is very prominent verse, particularly in this regard, that this Daivi Yesha Guna Mai, this divine energy, the material energy, is very difficult to overcome. Durachyaya, durachyaya. It's so difficult to overcome. It's not just so difficult, it's not possible. It's not possible to overcome. But when one gets the mercy of the Lord, then not only is it possible to overcome, but it can be, if you really take that mercy and really apply yourself, it can be very easy to overcome, actually. Yes, and it's interesting, and Prabhupada points out how, in this particular verse, in the Sanskrit itself, Lord Kapila, in just slightly different forms, very slightly different forms of the same words, says exactly the same thing. Tasmad imam swam prakritim daivim sadasadatmakam durvibhavyam. So prakritim daivim, this divine nature, very special nature, the material nature, not just the spiritual nature. Spiritual nature, of course, is even more special. But the material nature is also very special and divine. Daivi. Daivi means divine. But it is durvibhavyam. Literally, this means here, difficult to understand. In 7:14 Bhagavad Gita, it's particularly, the point is more specifically to overcome it. But it's sort of, in order to overcome it, you have to understand. And then act on the understanding and cultivate Krishna consciousness based on the understanding that I've got to keep engaged spiritually and keep out of that material nature, even though it's divine. Yes. And then you can be successful. Then you can be successful. Otherwise, it will be too hard. And particularly in Kali Yuga, you know, in terms of being too hard, there's, like, as an example, the story of Vishvamitra, famous story, how he was in meditation for so many years, 30,000 or something, and Indra sent Menaka to break his meditation and get him just to fall down to the material level, and that's what happened. And all that, the way that it happened was, he simply heard her ankle bells initially, and that was enough to break the meditation. And then he opened his eyes and he saw her, and sure, then they became householders, and he was just busily engaged in household affairs and household responsibilities. But after a while, after Shakuntala was born, then he realized that, just see what happened to me. See what happened to me. I've got to get back into it. But I've got to be more careful this time. So in order to avoid temptation, he went and meditated underwater for 20,000 years. But then he saw two fish mating, and then it happened again. Life is tough. And you know, that's Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, that sort of time, when the conditions, the social conditions, physical, psychological, emotional, and all these different conditions are much better than in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, all these things, it's simply a disaster. Total disaster. Yes. But still we have to conquer over the material nature and become situated in the self-realized position. The term is used here. Swarupena vatishtate. Swarupena meaning in the self-realized position, by the self-realized position. Swarup. Swarup meaning literally the self-realized position. And Srila Prabhupada discusses this in the second half of the purport, that if you're not self-realized, then you're going to more or less inevitably, unavoidably, be engaged in activities based on the false idea of self, the false identification with the body. Yes, not Swarup. In material life, people have an idea, a concept of Swarup. Swa, meaning one's own, one's natural, what one really is, Swarup, the form or nature. So everyone, of course, has their conception of that, but it's all in terms of the body, which has got nothing to do with reality. And we're all sitting here within our material bodies, male bodies, female bodies, but our actual Swarup, who we really are, the eternal person, is someone and something completely different. You know, we, without not being facetious at all, but one may well have a male material body now, but one's Swarup may be female. One may be a gopi. One might be a cow. Or whatever. We have no idea. And, you know, the possibilities are endless, actually. and one may now have a female body, but one's swarup may be male. These things are quite possible. Yes. So, but if one is not situated in one's swarup, at least in the sense of understanding what one's swarup is, or understanding, I mean, what the sort of very fundamental nature of one's swarup is, then it's practically unavoidable that one will just be engaged in activities in a way of life in accordance with the false so-called swarup of the material body. Yes, and when I say that one has to be situated, one has to be self-realized, one has to be situated, Prabhupada says, when one is situated in his real self, then the activities of Brahman realization begin. So it's like along the lines, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's fairly early in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada's talking about the spiritual master, and Prabhupada states basically to the effect that you must understand who is the spiritual master, and sort of indicating in terms of the swarup, which you might think gopi or cowherd boy or whatever. But then Prabhupada goes on to say that the position of the spiritual master is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna, meaning in the broad sense, not dasya ras as such, but in the capacity in which he's engaged in the service of Krishna. Well, that will be whatever it is. But the fundamental, foundational fact is that whatever it is, it's a program of devotional service to the Lord. Yeah. In that sort of basic sense. So, therefore, as the verse says, swarupena vatishtate, he remains, after conquering maya, he remains, the devotee remains in the self-realized position. And Prabhupada emphasizes that this swarup means the eternal servant. It doesn't mean some sort of Brahman realization type of idea. Not that. That's not real self-realization. That's only partial self-realization. And it's insufficient. It's actually insufficient for fulfilling what needs to be fulfilled. There's the interesting verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bayam dvitiya binaveshita syat. How does it go? Swarupena vyavastiti. Bayam dvitiya binaveshita syat. Perhaps we should just look it up. Can someone give me the verse number? Swarupena vyavastiti. Bayam dvitiya binaveshita syat. So bayam, fear. Fear occurs. You become fearful. Dvitiya. Huh? 2:10:6, right. Yeah, it's second canto. 2:10. Ek minute. Okay. All right. Anyway, all right. Hari Bol. Muktir hitvanyata rupam. Swarupena vyavastiti. There's another verse. That's a good verse. Fear occurs when we take shelter of dvitiya, a second. Krishna's first, everyone and everything else is second. 11.237. So fear occurs when you take shelter of someone other than Krishna, anyone other than Krishna, or at least those who are following strictly in the footsteps of Krishna. But real self-realization of one's swarup, muktir hitvanyata rupam, the real form of liberation is swarupena vyavastiti, becoming situated in your swarup as the eternal servant of Krishna. So Prabhupada presents in the purport, as he does, you know, regularly, how those who are practicing impersonalism, they try, or maybe some of them achieve, not so many, but some achieve actual realization of Brahman and they enter into the Brahma Jyoti. Others may not achieve it, but they try. So their idea, the idea is that this is self-realization. This is real self-realization, to realize I am Brahman, aham Brahmasmi. But Prabhupada's point here is that this is another abnormal position. It's not swarup position, one's natural position. It's another unnatural position. So when someone achieves it, even if they actually achieve it, or someone is trying, then it's that we're not really talking about self-realization. The real self-realization is only there in devotional service. Because who am I? What is the self? What is the nature of the self? Jivera Swarupaya Krishnaira Nityadas. We're all the eternal servants of Krishna. That is real self-realization. And the Brahman idea, we're not this body, we're eternal spirit souls, that's an element in the picture. But if our picture is limited to that, then we've fallen short. And in due course, the person falls down again. And Prabhupada gives the example that, he gives examples of activities. Now we're conditioned. We're in the non-self-realized position. But we're busily engaged. Everybody's very busily engaged in activity. Why would you think then that in the self-realized position we're not engaged in activity? Why? What's the reason? It would appear that we're engaged in activity, but of pure natures, not just some misconceived activity on the basis of a misunderstanding of who and what we are. So therefore, activity in devotional service is activity in Brahman realization, and just to try to become Brahman realized as such is an incomplete attempt at Brahman realization. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example, very nice example. Well, I could mention, you know, we get asked this question from time to time. I was just asked it about a week ago, that in Krishna consciousness, how do we achieve Brahman realization? Is it that we, first of all, you know, in our ongoing lives in Krishna consciousness, first we get Brahman realization, then Paramatma, then Bhagavan or pure Krishna consciousness. Is that how it works? This was the question. And the answer to the question is that no. The way it works is that as you realize Krishna more and more, then you can realize Paramatma and Bhagavan. And particularly when you really realize Krishna, then Paramatma and Brahman become clear. And in this regard, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example of the sun rising. When the sun, when it's the middle of the night, then you don't know what is the sun, and you don't know who are you, and you don't know what is the world. But when the sun, as the sun rises, you gradually, you come to understand the sun and yourself and the world. And when the sun is really fully risen, then everything's so clear. The sun is vividly clear. You are vividly clear. The world is vividly clear. And in that context, the sun, realizing the sun, is realizing Krishna. Realizing yourself, it's more like Paramatma, that level at least, and realizing the world is like realizing Brahman. But those realizations, they only come as your realization of Krishna develops. And they only become complete when your realization of Krishna becomes complete as it can possibly come. So like this, Brahma, Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 1854. You all know Bhagavad Gita 1854, don't you? Don't you? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakamshati Samak Saraveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He's equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. Hare Krishna. So like this, Lord Kapila is addressing these things, and Srila Prabhupada is addressing these things so nicely to help us understand what is otherwise durvibhavyam, very difficult to understand, and what to speak of realizing. Oh, It's very, very difficult. Hare Krishna. Any comment, Maharaj? Sri Damodar Prabhu.
Maharaj, I was thinking about, Prabhupada quoted that verse from 1854.
Right.
I mean, in one reading of that verse, it seems like only when one is Brahma Bhuta, then Prasanatma, then no hindering thing.
Right.
Then only you see everyone equally.
Right.
Then only you engage in devotional service.
Right.
But in our understanding, please correct me, that one practices those things even when one is not on the Brahma Buddha platform.
Yes.
One eventually fully realizes the same thing that one is practicing.
Yes.
Is that a correct one?
That's right. Question is, the point is that here it can be taken that you realize these things step by step, and when you've realized, then you take to Krishna consciousness. Yeah?
Well,
no.
Well, the results of being in Brahma Bhuta,
the result of being
joyful, not angering, not lamenting,
right,
seeing everybody equally. It seems like only when we get to that pure level, then only we have that realization of that experience. But But our process is to actually practice seeing everybody equally, actually practice not implementing, actually practicing bhakti.
Right. It's not that you just realize these things when you've already become blissful and whatever else, then you realize. But we realize step by step through the process of devotional service. This verse, I mean that verse, 1854 at least, is referring, of course it can be applied in the way you've said, that gradually through engaging in spiritual activity, step by step, we realize more and more blissfulness and so on like that. That it applies in that way to the devotee, the practicing devotees. But for those, because Krishna has been talking about people in Bhagavad Gita coming to devotional service through karma yoga and then Sankhya Yoga, or Ashtanga Yoga, like that. So there's a slight, but it's mixed with Krishna consciousness. If it's not mixed with Krishna consciousness, then it's not that you can become, sort of come to a level of some sort of Brahman realization, and then you just become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness develops gradually. So therefore the understanding is that those people who they practice these forms of yoga and then they come to Krishna consciousness after some time of that sort of practice, the understanding is that the practice is mixed with Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Although the yoga practice is what's more emphasized, just like Dhruva Maharaj. He was practicing like that. It was a process of Ashtanga Yoga. But it was mixed with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Although as far as he was concerned, he was cultivating Sankhya Yoga, some process for becoming powerful. But because it was mixed with Krishna consciousness, at a certain point the Krishna consciousness became prominent. So generally for these people who are described here, they've become transcendentally situated, and then they realize the Supreme Brahman means Krishna, and they become engaged in devotional service. But whatever their practice has been, it's been mixed with Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it doesn't work like that. Whatever you focus on, you develop in that way. Is that okay? Any other comment or question? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.